Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Seeking Witchcraft. It's me, your host Ashley, and today I have on a return guest and my high priest, Azazel. Welcome, hello. Azazel, to the show. You already know how this goes. Can you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Hi everyone, I'm Azazel. As you guys may remember me from quite a few episodes, I think I did the incense episode. What other episodes did we do?
We talked about different traditions, but you also have your own podcast.
Oh yeah, I do. It's in a bit of a slumber at the moment. The podcast is Feats of Torches, and Feast of Torches. Oh, yeah, she's in a little bit of a slumber right now. It's been a hectic year.
She's been in a coma.
She going through it. I do want to get back to it eventually, once I have a consistent schedule. Would be great. But that's a problem for next week, maybe 2 weeks. We'll see.
Sure.
It'll happen.
That was the god saying gnar. Should probably cut that out, that truck going by.
Maybe I will, maybe I won't.
Okay. Anyway, so today Azazel has graced us with his presence, and he is here to talk about pentacles. And if you're wondering, oh, they're going to talk about necklaces, that's not exactly the purpose of the episode.
Well,
perchance.
Kind of.
So,
pentacles, they have been used for, a few hundred years now, and how they've kind of, I guess, are described. Now, they're not necessarily necklaces in the way that we would see them today. Pretty commonly today, everyone kind of refers as pentacles to the little pentagrams that is encircled, that a lot of people, a lot of witches or pagans tend to wear around their neck.
And that's not tattooed on them or see them in popular culture, like charmed and such.
That's not wholly wrong. So pentacle actually comes from, or the way that it's, the way in which it's described and how we're going to talk about it today, actually comes from the old French pentacle. I don't really know how to say old French, so it's going to be pentacle without. It's pentacol, and it's meant as a pendant or a charm that's worn around the neck. It's not necessarily a pentagram that's on a neck, but can be. But for the most part, we're going to be talking about that kind of pentacle, and not necessarily, or I guess the way it was used in, I don't want to say antiquity, it's not really antiquity, more of like medieval times, Renaissance magic kind of thing, and the different ways that they're kind of used today. And yeah.
Awesome. So what exactly are pentacles themselves? Why do people wear them? What is the purpose? Like, I've seen a lot of people say, oh, like they'll wear them as a sign of like protection, or it'll represent the elements, or whatever the reason is. But what exactly, like, what does it mean to wear a pentacle, or to have a pentacle, or a pentacle versus a pentagon? Not a pentagon. Take that out. But a pentacle versus
a pentagram.
A pentacle versus a pentagram.
So typically nowadays you'll see the difference being essentially one's encircled, one's not encircled. Pentagram is just the five-pointed star. A pentacle can mean a variety of things. It can mean a pentagram that is encircled with essentially a circle. But more commonly, especially in different areas of the magical communities, most specifically like the ceremonial community or the Solomonic community, that works with that type of magic. Whenever they refer to pentacles, they refer to items not always made out of metal. Sometimes they're made out of paper. Traditionally, they were made out of parchment, and they were drawn with specific colored ink to attribute themselves to a specific spirit or specific type of spirit. But they can also be done on metal as well. Typically, like Ashley said, they can be worn for protection. They can also be worn as a talisman, a magical seal. You can kind of use that technology of the pentacle in a variety of different ways, especially contemporarily. But typically, historically, they were used specifically to designate a specific spirit. And you would use that pentacle as a way to either bind a spirit. You can use it as a way to connect to a spirit. There's a variety of different ways in which you can to bring it into your practice. But yeah, they don't necessarily always mean pentagrams that are encircled.
So what about the inverted pentagrams or pentacles?
So the beauty of a pentagram itself is it's got 5 points and they all point in a specific direction. And it's really inverted depending on which way you're looking at it. There's no really negative connotation to whether it's upside up, upright or inverted. It kind of means the same thing generally for pentagrams specifically. For pentacles, you never really see them inverted. They're kind of just, you know, there's a specific figure. There is a bit of variety on how they are created. And I'll give some references to some books too that you can look into to kind of delve into more into that kind of magic if you want to go into that. But more commonly, you're like I mentioned before, you're going to see them in Solomonic practices and also ceremonial practices used in different ways, but it's kind of generally the same kind of reasonings that you're using.
Yeah, I ask because I know I've seen a lot of edgy teenagers spray painting upside down pentagrams saying like Hail Satan 666. And so there's a lot of negative connotations to that. Like you'll see that in the media too. A lot of people just associate it with like devil work or Satan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty common, especially with contemporary magic. I want to say it was Anton LaVey that kind of took the pentagram itself and inverted it and put the goat head face on the inverted pentagram and then kind of took that symbol. And, you know, they're more than free to do that. The pentagram can be a symbol for a variety of things. Usually it's a symbol of protection, but it's also a symbol of invocation. So Anton LaVey kind of used that method or the symbology of the pentagram to kind of use it to invoke the imagery of the devil. And so it, even though it's inverted and gets a negative connotation, it's still being used for the same purpose. Like even when we do, like in Wicca commonly, you'll see the pentagrams that are drawn towards the elemental, which comes mostly from the Golden Dawn. And that's kind of how it worked its way into, you know, neo-pagan Wicca. And again, it's that same ideology of it being something that you're using to invoke into your space. You're using this pentagram as a symbol to cut open a portal, essentially, to whatever thing you're trying to call and bring it in.
So can we talk a little bit more about like, how would somebody do that? And what are some like different ways people can use different pentacles to invoke things?
So with pentacles, aside from pentagrams, pentacles themselves, they're typically circles or are made on a circular kind of material. Like I mentioned before, traditionally they are made on virgin parchment, which it can be, you do it on a piece of printer paper if you want to, if that's what you have. The parchment is what was traditionally used, which essentially is like the skin of an animal that they've kind of dwindled down to being very paper-like. And virgin just being in the sense of it's never been used before for any other purpose than what you're using it for that day or for that ritual or rite. And like I mentioned before, there is some different connotations to how you can create these things. There is a difference in ceremonial and Solomonic magic between a pentacle and that you would use to, you know, inscribe the signatures of a demon or of an angel or of a spirit. There are the layman, which you'll see commonly in ceremonial magic, which is something that you actually wear around your neck. And this will have, you know, the names of God on it. It also have the names of the angel that you're using to protect you. So if you work like planetary magic, for example, you would use the layman of the archangel of, say, Saturn. And which, off the top of my head, I want to say is Cassiel. And so you would wear that around your neck as a symbol of protection, but then you would have a pentacle with the seal of Saturn. And then on that seal would typically be the intelligence and also the daemon of Saturn as well. So you're kind of using the archangel as a method of protection to protect you from, you know, whatever infernal spirits that you may be calling upon or negative spirits that might be in the space, and to kind of create that direct line to the spirit that you're trying to call. And it could be, you know, like I said, it could be the intelligence, it could be the daemon of that planet. And each planet has a different metal that's usually attributed to what they do. For example, Venus is copper, Jupiter is tin, which is pretty easy and cheap to find. So is copper, thankfully. And Mars is iron. Mercury can be a difficult one because the metal for mercury is mercury, and that's a liquid. So we cannot be writing upon it's also dangerous and to interact with. So a lot of people tend to use different metals that can be a little bit more conducive and obviously functional if you want to do that, go that route. And I usually tend to go the metal route whenever I'm working the pentacles. I find it to be a little bit easier. Also, knowing how I am as a person, having paper pentacles, I'm going to have to be making them repeatedly over and over again because I'm either going to lose it, I'm going to mess it up, probably going to get burned, or some other variety of things. It's going to get destroyed in some way, shape, or form over, you know, a week of me not using it. And metal's a little bit more sturdier, so it's just a little bit easier. But if you're using it for, you know, one time right, you can use paper.
Yeah, and if you also don't have access to some of these materials being mentioned for whatever reason, like, yeah, you could absolutely use paper as well.
And then the rolls of the pentacle, you know, like I mentioned before, there's different things that you can use them for. It's not only necessarily going to be in Solomonic magic. I personally don't really practice a lot of ceremonial Solomonic magic, but I do work with a lot of the planets. So working with the pentacles of the planets that are out of the key of Solomon, I do occasionally. And I find them to be very effective, even though I don't necessarily attribute or work with the Christian God. And there are usually a lot of names of God in the Christian paradigm that are associated with these pentacles. And well, like I'm pretty sure we mentioned before, you know, a lot of ceremonial magic, if you do have lots of religious trauma, it might not be the route for you. But being in a mostly pagan practitioner, I find it's pretty easy to just kind of subvert that or use those same symbologies to connect to what I consider to be deity or the most high or the most supreme. I don't necessarily was connected to being the God of Christians.
So for those who want to know a little bit more about what you were just talking about, can you talk about like what the roles of the pentacles are? So you talked about each planet having a pentacle and talking about like, or could you discuss like for Jupiter, for example, like what does Jupiter represent and kind of go through the list of the planets of if anybody's listening, they want to like create their own.
Sure. If you look up the Solomonic pentacles themselves, a lot, each one has about 5 to 7 pentacles for each individual planet. And each one does a specific thing, but for general purposes, I want to say like the sun is usually, you know, relating to any sort of protection or getting sort of divine favor and working with things that are going to bring in a lot of essentially like light to your life. The moon is going to deal with lots of like psychic issues, invisibility, spirit communications, dealing with kind of like the unseen world is really helpful working with the moon and with lunar pentacles. Saturn, you can go to Saturn for working with boundaries, working with necromancy. So working with your ancestors can also be helpful with Saturn. Also working against curses or cursing people specifically. Saturn can also be a great one to go for with that. And Jupiter tends to deal with a lot of, I have a Jupiter tattoo as well as a Saturn tattoo. And I like to think of them as kind of like, not two sides of the same coin, but they can enhance each other. Jupiter kind of is a representation of your kingdom, of your environment, and Saturn creates the boundaries for that environment. And so with Jupiter, you know, everything that's going to relate to your kingdom, it's going to be your financial issues, your environmental issues, which could be family, anything dealing with, you know, authority is great to go to Jupiter. Riches is also great for Jupiter. And also any sort of like spiritual, I won't say like ascending, but like spiritual growth can be a great thing to go to Jupiter for. Mars, as most people tend to connect Mars with like Aries, so it's going to be a lot of, not necessarily warfare. However, if that's something, you know, if you're in the military, Mars can be a great planet to work with a lot. However, the planets themselves, working with them energetically can have an influence in your kind of like your everyday life. And so I would be wary about working with one planet too much. A lot of people tend to stay away from Saturn because Saturn usually deals with death and can bring a lot of, nobody wants to work with death too heavily, too often, because you don't want to bring that kind of energy into your life. You know, you don't want, you know, things to die around you. It can kind of envelop your psyche a little bit. And that kind of goes for all the planets. If you use something too much, it can become a negative influence in your life. So it's good to be well-rounded and work with different planetary energies throughout weeks or throughout whatever the time frame that you're working with them. Like I was saying, Mars is great for, you know, any sort of combat if you're having issues with things at work. Mars can be a little aggressive. Mars is meant to be aggressive with the magic that it works. The spirits are very fiery. They can be very attentive, but they can also require a lot of attention. And so if you're not feeding them, they may turn on you. But it's going to be, Martians can definitely get shit done, but you also have to be wary about those kind of Martian spirits and how you want them to be influencing your life a lot. So I wouldn't work with them too much, to be honest, for me personally. Venus is going to deal with lots of love. They're going to deal with, that can be self-love, that can be, you know, wanting love in your life, or it can also deal with friendship. You know, Venus is going to deal with things that are like aesthetically pleasing. So if you want, you know, beautiful things, but you also have to shower Venus with beautiful things. And so like Venus is a planet that you can go to kind of, I would say, to be very uplifting. Venus is a great planet for that. Mercury, I'm sure we all love being, you know, when Mercury goes into Gatorade or Haterade, as some people say. Mercury is a great planet to work with during these times, I feel. Personally, I usually tend to, I'm pretty sure I mentioned this in this episode. I tend to make some offerings towards Mercury during those times, so kind of like alleviate some of the chaos whenever Mercury goes into Haterade. And working with Mercurial planets during that time, some people, you know, work against or say not to work with Mercury planets during while it's in retrograde. I'm of the opposite mindset. I think it's a great time to work with Mercurial planets, but I don't think it's a great time to use them for anything. I think it's a great time to connect with them, a great time to, you know, give offerings, a great time to kind of build that relationship a little bit better. And in building your relationship with Mercury can help build and strengthen your relationships around you.
I know you also have a Mercury incense that you burn as part of your offering. Do you have, just out of curiosity, like something for all of the planets?
Yeah, I created my own incenses, and this is something that you can do on your own. You don't necessarily have to use recipes that are online or anything like that. A lot of what I did was just look up each, a lot of herbs have their own planetary associations. And so I used some herbs that were traditionally used in planetary incenses, and I kind of mixed in some herbs that I was able to find that had some of those planetary associations and mixed it into there, along with usually some of my own intuition at the time. It's like, oh, let me just add a dash of this, just add some spice to it. But that's just me. But you can always, there is a great website called Alchemy Works. It's done by Paul Hewson, who wrote Mastering Witchcraft that came out in like the 80s, which was a fundamental book for a lot of witchcraft practitioners back then. He also wrote, I believe it's called 13 Witching Herbs that came out a few years ago, probably over a decade ago now. I don't know what time is in relation to the craft anymore. Those essentially just discuss 13 herbs that are associated usually with witchcraft and kind of goes into the specifics of that. Yeah, but his website Alchemy Works, where he sells actually seeds that if you wanted to plant them yourself, if you want to go a little bit deeper into it, I know this is not necessarily a planetary episode, but if you want to go into a little deeper in it, you can plant it in the day and hour of the planet. And that kind of goes into the creation of the pentacles themselves. Traditionally, whenever you are creating these pentacles, whether you're making them from metal, which I'll go into a little bit, if you're making them from paper, you want to create them in the day and hour of the planet. And looking up the day and the planetary hour and planetary day is usually pretty simple. Saturn is Saturday. The moon is Monday. You can easily figure them out. The planetary hours are a little bit more sophisticated. There is apps that you can find. I believe the one that I use is Moon Deluxe. And it kind of gives me all of my planetary information, which makes everything super simple. But if you are great at math, you can math it out. I am not. I do not like math. I do not like math with numbers. I do not like math with letters. I do not like math at all. So I do not math. And so apps it is for me. And I will say, from traditionally, you want to create it within that planetary hour. And the hour is not necessarily going to be a full hour. Sometimes it's a little less than an hour. Sometimes it's a little more. What I've been taught is that if you're make something within at the start, like if you're making a pentacle for the moon, you want to do it on a Monday in the hour of the moon. As long as you start in the hour of the moon, no matter what time you finish, it kind of still has that lunar energy attributed to it, which is great for me because I do make a lot of planetary pentacles or pentacles in general. And if I were to be limited to 1 hour to make all the pentacles that I need to make for that planet, I would never get anything done. I will mention it a little bit later, probably at the end of the episode, but for a little bit more about that at the end of the episode. But whenever I'm making any sort of planetary pentacles, I usually try to stick within at least a time frame. You know, I don't want to, you know, spend 8 hours working on one pentacle, but I started, you know, I technically started in the hour of Mars, but you want to kind of keep it close. That way, energetically, it's still in the same time frame. And but usually if you're doing it on paper, it can be very, you know, quick and easy job. And again, if you're doing after the creation of the pentacles, you also want to consecrate them as well. And consecrations can look very different. You can go the traditional ceremonial route, which if you look into the Key of Solomon, it'll tell you how to consecrate them specifically that way. I personally, like I said before, I don't really work traditional Solomonic magic. And so I consecrate them in my own way. I work very heavily with the planetary spirits. So I consecrate them to the planetary spirits with the power of planetary spirits. I don't really call upon God or anything like that. But I would still do it in the hour and in the day that they need to be consecrated or that is associated with that planet. So creation in the planetary hour and day and consecration in the planetary hour and day. You can be a little bit free with it. You can play with it a little bit. I find it easier, especially if you're not working, if you're trying to essentially create your own pentacles, which there is some resources for that. Sarah Mastros actually wrote a book on Solomonic pentacles and going into a little bit of history and why there's Hebrew on Solomonic pentacles. You know, is it appropriation to use those pentacles because there is Hebrew on there? She goes into a deep dive. And also, I believe at the end of the book, she talks about, you know, creating your own pentacles. I've created my own pentacles, not necessarily with her method, but in attributing different spirits that I'm working with. They're not always going to be under one, you know, in one neat little box. So if I'm working with a Martian spirit, but I need him to be working, you know, towards like communication, like I'm trying to like, you know, get my boss necessarily, or so to speak, to do something that's a little bit, or be a little bit more communicative, but I want it to be something that's going to happen fast. And I need it to be something that's going to happen with a little bit more aggression. I'm going to create essentially a Martian pentacle, but I'm going to consecrate it or make it in the hour of Mercury and kind of use all the advantages that you can to kind of mix together the different things that you can. And it'll affect, you'll see the effects in different ways. So if you don't want essentially what you're making to be wholly Martian or wholly lunar, you can kind of use the mix of the other planetary hours and days and their energies to enhance the things that you're doing. And same aspect goes in the reverse way. If you're not trying to do that, you know, obviously don't work in those different planetary hours, because then you're going to get those influences in there whether you want to or not.
I want to add that if people want to spice things up when they're working with these planetary sigils or symbols or pentacles, if you want to add some spice, you can actually play the sounds of the planets on YouTube. YouTube has a file for every planet, like the vibrations, the humming of it, and it could be quite spoopy.
Yes. I did that when I was working through Rufus Opus's Seven Spheres. It's a method that he uses for what's called drawing spirits into crystals, which was created by Johannes Trithemius, like hundreds of years ago. And his method kind of is a little bit more on the Christian side of things, but I found it really fun to work with those techniques. And in the background, I just had, you know, instead of drumming or things like that, I literally just had on my Amazon Echo blasting the sounds of Saturn, which I don't know if you've heard the sounds of Saturn. It sounds like you're in hell. Like the sounds that the rings make literally sounds like just people screaming. It can't be very uncomfortable, but it definitely sets the mood for the type of energy that you're working for. And it's great to also use in whenever you're working with that planetary energy. If you are doing Martian stuff, instead of using the sounds of Mars, Al Cummins actually did a song with, I believe the band is called Knife Sex, and it's called, I believe it's called Mars or Mars Invocation or something like that. And he's essentially just saying an invocation to Mars with the band playing in the background. And it sounds sick. It's like, it sounds super sick. And just having that on repeat, it can really gets you into the mood. And I hate that I can't find the lyrics, but the script that he used, because I would love to do that one day. And he never messaged me back when I tried messaging him.
Now, is this like something on YouTube or Spotify?
Yeah, you can get it on Spotify. I play it.
If you send me a link, I'll put it in the episode description.
No, it's pretty sick. But yeah, so you kind of play around with it. It doesn't have to be very strict in the way that you work with them. So going back to the creation of the pentacles themselves, like I said before, you can look into the Key of Solomon and see exactly what they look like. But typically, you know, it's going to have the symbol in the middle that is going to be an attribution to the different planets. Some of them are very intricate. Some of them are not. They're just like, they look like spokes on a wheel with different symbols on the end of them. Some of them, like ones for Mars, which I'm actually going to be making some Martian pentacles soon. And I'm terrified because I make all my pentacles by hand. You'll find them sometimes online. People use like laser engravers. I like to work with my hands a lot, so I do torture myself and do this all by hand. The Martian pentagram has a scorpion.
So would you say feast of torture? Yes,
it's definitely a feat. Well, not a feats of torture. I'm not using my feats. But it's definitely a feast of torture for sure. Yeah, so one of the Martian pentacles has a scorpion on it, and it's a very detailed scorpion. And I feel like I'm fairly good with my work, but I've never done that before, so it's going to be terrifying when I'm doing it, because my pentacles are usually like 3 inches wide, and it's a very detailed scorpion, so it's going to be... It'll come out how it comes out. And I hope the guy who orders it loves it. But some of them are really intricate. If you don't have any artistic ability, I find it's perfectly fair to print it out. If you can get parchment paper that's you can actually put into a printer, that's like, or cut it the same size, and it'll, you know, print right out into whatever parchment paper you're using. And you can print it the color. If you have like a color printer, you can print it the color of the planet that's associated with the planet. I usually like to, if I'm going to be printing it out, I will go over it with either a colored pencil or a colored marker, adding a little bit of my energy to the creation of the pentacle itself before I'm actually using it in ritual. Even if you buy them online, I usually would trace it even with my own, you know, with my athame or with a little stylus that I use to stencil out some stuff. And that way I'm adding my own, you know, energy into the pentacle itself, even if I didn't create it. And I usually recommend to consecrate it yourself if you can. If you don't feel like doing that, you just want to use it as on a day-to-day basis, or you don't want to really do any other work for it, you can get it consecrated by whoever makes them. If they offer those services, there are definitely lots of magicians out there that offer those services. Make things and do things for you if you don't want to do them yourself. Practical usage, I would say after, you know, the creation of the pentacle and you know what you want to do, actually using it itself, you can use it in a variety of different ways. I usually make a lot of my pentacles, if they're not going to be specifically planetary, I usually tend to make it out of copper. Copper is a great one. It's cheap. You can find it on, you can get them on metal discs, whether it's a 6-inch or a 3-inch, depending on however big you want to make it. And gemmals are also pretty cheap if you want to go that route. But even if, you know, you order them from somewhere or by someone, using them can be pretty easy. Or you can use them a variety of different ways. You can go the Solomonic route in which you use them. I've used them. I've gone, like I said before, I work with a lot of planetary energies, and that's a variety of different types of spirits. Some of the spirits that I work with are the Olympic spirits. Each planet has their own Olympic spirit. And I worked with when I started my last job, where I was essentially designing custom closets, but it was a sales position. Pretty much everything that I was doing was very mercurial. You know, I was traveling to their house. I was doing designs. I was communicating with the customer, and I was trying to essentially convince them with obviously my words to buy the thing that I want, but also be entranced by the design that I do. So every part of that job was very mercurial. So I made a pentacle of the spirit, Olympic spirit of Mercury, and I carried that with me whenever I did any sort of sale or whenever I was driving places. You know, making sure that I get to the customer's house on time, without traffic, without any sort of interruption, making sure that the spirit helps me speak clearly, that I'm not fumbling over my words all the time, which can happen. I do that a lot. I'm sure I've done that many times in this episode, and thankfully I edit the episodes so I can edit it out. And I should probably keep that pentacle on me more often, to be honest. But working with that specific spirit was very helpful for me during that time. So you can just, you know, keep it in your pocket. You can keep it on you. If it's a piece of paper that you have, you can keep it in your wallet and have it folded up. And I usually try to say a little invocation to them before I walk into any customer that I'm working with. And that way their energy and their spirit is with me while I'm doing it. I don't have to do a full, you know, blown out ritual every single time that I communicate with them. And so that just makes it a little easier. And it just can be helpful on a day-to-day basis. But if you want to work it in a little bit more of a ritualistic sense, that's not the Solomonic route. An easy way for me, like I mentioned before, copper is a general one that I use for most spirits, because copper is a great conductor of energy and a great way to connect with spirits in general. And very simply, I'll just like have the pentacle in front of me, and I will have a candle right over it, and I'll use it either in a meditation, or I will, you know, generate some energy around the candle, to kind of like lend energy to the spirit and kind of bring them into my space. and simple things like that. Like, it doesn't have to be this big drawn out ritual where you're, you know, getting a lion skin belt and you have like these very specific wooden wands and you're commanding demons to do whatever you want. You can go that route if you'd like to, but it is a lot of work. It can be very influential work to your life. And I don't want to knock any sort of ceremonial magic. I think it's very fantastic. And can be very influential to both your spiritual growth, to, you know, your magical growth in general. But for me, it's a little bit too much work. I am what they call a lazy potato, and I do not like putting in a lot of work into what I'm doing. I still put a lot of energy and you know, commitment to the spirits that I work, but that's a little too much for me. So those that can do it, I'd say do it.
I will say, on a very mundane note, if you are using a copper pentacle, copper, it's the same material as the U.S. pennies, it will tarnish. That is totally normal. And there are things you can buy to get the tarnish or get the, yeah, the tarnish off, but they do tarnish that rather quickly. There is some sort of protectant you can put on it, but they're pretty expensive from what I understand to get that protectant. But yeah, just know if you ever purchase a pentacle, like from our very own Azazel Feast of Torches here, which I'm sure he'll talk about in a moment, if it comes tarnished or if over time it starts to kind of lose its sheen, that's completely normal.
Yeah. I will say though, with that, for most spirits, that's usually fine. Any metal is going to tarnish over time. But I will say, if you're working with Venusian spirits, because aesthetics and beauty is usually a big thing for them, I would clean up your pentacles, your copper pentacles, your copper Venusian pentacles, or anytime you're going to work with them. Just so that, you know, if you're working with spirits that have a certain, you know, requirements and aesthetic that they like, you don't want to, I don't want to say offend them, but you don't want to essentially bring them into a dirty space or what they would consider to be a dirty space. So I would keep their pentacles pretty pristine and polished. The rest of them, I don't think they really care that much. And like Ashley said, you know, there are protectants that you can put over the metals to make sure that they don't tarnish over time. But they can be quite expensive. But usually it comes in a huge bucket. So like, you'll have it for a while and you'll be able to use it for a while.
So do you want to talk about the pentacles that you sell?
Yeah. So I actually have a Etsy called, very creatively, Feast of Torches.
All one word.
All one word. And Ashley, I'm sure we'll put the link into the description as well. I make pentacles. Right now, I have a full set of Jupiter for sale, and as well as full set for copper. And you can order them individually as well. You don't have to order the full set if you don't want to. And I'm probably going to be putting the Olympic Spirit ones on there soon and getting the other planetary ones on there as well. The only issue with that right now is just, like I said before, I can't really get Mercury to make the Mercury ones. So I'm kind of figuring out a workaround for that one. And also the lunar and the solar ones are going to be a little difficult because finding gold discs is, you know, gold is not cheap and neither is silver. So those will be on there probably for a pretty penny, mostly because of the cost of the materials itself. But I do have them, some that are there. I do also have options if you want to order a custom one. Essentially, just send me a message with the image that you want on there. And I can pretty much put anything on there for the most part. If it's there's something that's probably out of my artistic range, I will let you know. But I would say I've been pretty good with a lot of the work that I've done.
Your craftsmanship is pretty amazing, especially the fact that you do this all by hand, including like the stencil and everything.
Trust me, I have the more every time I finish one, I'm just like, you know, I could be a tattoo artist. I could do it. I'm pretty sure those machines don't shake as much as this Dremel does. It powers it, it's in that thing. We'll see. Maybe I'll get one. But yeah, so if you do want to check that out, my Etsy is Feast of Torches, all one word.
You know, this is just an idea, but you could always make your own incenses to sell with them that match the planet.
I could, but again, as I mentioned, I am a lazy potato. So doing,
but you also, I will say, Azazel makes amazing incenses. So if you're interested, you should at least message him because he does make some fantastic ones.
I'll get those on there eventually. I really should.
They smell so good. Everybody always compliments how good they smell. Everybody.
Okay, fine. I will put the incenses on my Etsy. Make me do so much work. I just want to look.
I'm just so happy that you and I run a coven together so I get to benefit from the incenses.
I'm being abused.
Sure. All right. Well, Azazel, do you have anything else you want to share about pentacles or any other final words about using them or anything that people should know?
Honestly, I've said this before on the episode, you know, experiment, do as much as you can with magic. Don't be so stringent on, you know, what the old grimoires say. A lot of those grimoires were created because people were experimenting and you know, finding out, essentially fucking around and finding out. So feel free to do the same thing. Make sure that the spirits that you're working with, the pentacles, that you are actually, you know, giving them the time and attention that you work with them, and make sure that you are not, you know, using and abusing them, and pay attention to them, because the spirits, they'll trust me, they will work for you.
And they'll also fuck you up if you offend them.
Also that. But again, you know, make sure you give them offerings, give them some sweet things, give them some incense, which I'll probably be selling on my Etsy soon. You don't necessarily have to give them my incense. You can if you want.
Now, Azazel, I know you know how this show works. Is that also your one piece of advice for beginners, or would you like to say something else?
So some magical advice I would say that I am pretty sure has not been said on an episode before. I would say keep up with your dreams, especially if you're going to be working with spirits. A lot of times, you know, you'll be working with a spirit and they don't necessarily interact with you in that moment. One, there are multiple attributes to that. Dream work is something that it makes it a little easier to communicate with the spirit. I will say before you go to sleep, make sure that you ask them, you know, if there's anything that you had left to tell me, you know, communicate it to me in my dreams. Start a dream journal. Things may appear in dreams over times and patterns, and you'll be able to actually piece together what the message that you're trying to send you. Along with, you know, making a dream journal, focus, if you're going to be working with spirits constantly, focus on improving your psychic senses. A lot of times people, you know, there's stories of people, you know, doing ritual for hours and hours and hours, and they're calling, you know, they're kind of trying to conjure the spirit to be in the space. And everyone always talks about bringing the spirit to full manifestation. And sometimes, you know, they could have been there the whole time, but, you know, you weren't able to perceive them in your space because you hadn't honed your psychic senses enough to be able to recognize that they were there. They probably came and left because they got annoyed with you saying the same damn invocation over and over. It's like, I'm here. Probably. You're just yelling at me now at this point. I'm just going to dip.
It's like, not my fault. You can't see me.
So make sure you hone your psychic abilities and start a dream journal. It can be very, very effective in your communication with spirits.
Cool. Well, that is a fantastic piece of advice. And thank you, Azazel, so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom about pentacles. You had a lot of information to share, way more than I know about pentacles, and especially planetary magic. I know that's your forte. Maybe we should do an episode on planetary magic someday if we haven't already. But yes, thank you so much, Azazel, for coming on. Could you share with the listeners how people can find you if they have any questions or just want to stalk you on the internet, aside from your Etsy page, which again is Feast of Torches?
I mean, you can find me on Instagram at Feast of Torches. I don't believe it's Feast of Torches Podcast. I want to just say it's Feast of Torches.
I think it might be Feast of Torches Podcast, but I think it might be underscore. I will link it in the episode bio.
If you do want to shoot me an email, it's feastoftorches@gmail.com. And I can, you know, if you want to order anything that I don't necessarily have on my Etsy, you can shoot me an email and we can figure that out. Also, you know, I'm also Azazel on Azaizall on Instagram and pretty much everywhere else. And yeah, so if you want to find me, hit me up.
Great. And if you want to find me, I'm also on Instagram at Seeking Witchcraft or Spells and Kettlebells. I have a Facebook page that's mostly memes called Seeking Witchcraft Podcast. And if you want to support the show, you can do so at Patreon at patreon.com/Seeking Witchcraft. All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. As usual, thank you again for joining, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye. Bye.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.